you are a survivor, a 10-year survivor of pancreatic cancer?
I'm now 11 years.
11 years, yeah. Sorry, well, I was rounding down. I should, we
That's
should,
okay,
we
don't
should
worry.
Applaud you for every single year. So
oh, absolutely, I count them and the months.
For that. Okay, well, what would you put your success down to as to how you've managed to beat it?
Well, it's all down to early diagnosis, and it's down to me recognising that I had symptoms that were not normal for me. I didn't know at the time that it was pancreatic cancer, and I had backache, more than backache, back pain. And that was sort of where the bra strap sits in the middle, and it radiated round to the front. I had pain on eating. I had change in bowel habit, bouts of diarrhoea, etc. And I also was losing weight without trying. And a year before all of that, I was diagnosed with new onset type 2 diabetes, and it wasn't obesity related at all. So all of that combined, I just kept going back and forward to the doctor, and they told me I had maybe IBS or maybe I had indigestion, and told me to go to the pharmacy and take over the counter remedies, which I duly did, because I think we all like to be reassured that the doctor doesn't think you've got anything significantly wrong. But for me, my symptoms really persisted, particularly the pain, and eventually, after several visits to the GP, I ended up in A&E, who thought I might have gallstones, which is a very common misdiagnosis for pancreatic cancer. And they said I needed an ultrasound, but it was Bank Holiday Monday, and I advise anybody not to go to an A&E unit on a bank holiday, because there was no one there to operate the ultrasound machine. So I was sent back to the GP, who then said it'd be a 4 to 6 week wait on the NHS, because they didn't feel that it was anything to worry about, and that I could last that long if I just had gallstones. In fact, obviously, I did have cancer, but I didn't, in their minds, qualify for the 2 week wait referral route, where they have to refer you for tests within 2 weeks. So on that news and the amount of pain that I was in, I just couldn't tolerate the thought of waiting 4 to 6 weeks. So fortunately, I was on my husband's health policy at work, and I managed to see my lovely consultant, Mr. Menezes from Surrey, within 2 days, and he admitted me straight away and subsequently found a 5.5 centimetre mass on my pancreas, which turned out to be cancer.
Wow, that's quite a story, and congratulations on making it for 11 years so healthily, so well done there. Listeners are probably thinking, oh, well, I get back pain and I get a bit of loose stools from time to time. And I looked at your fantastic website, by the way, and we'll get to that a little bit later. I looked at that, and pretty much all of the symptoms that were listed there, you seem to be sharing that you were experiencing. We don't hear that much about pancreatic cancer, and yet I believe it's something we should be a little bit more aware of, and that's why you founded the Pancreatic Cancer Action Group, is it called? Or?
Well, it's a charity, yes. It's the Pancreatic Cancer Action. We are a registered charity, and I founded it because I wanted more people to have the same outcome that I had. And at the time that I founded it, I didn't know I was going to be surviving more than 10 years, because there's only a 1% chance of that happening.
Right.
But I really did want it not to be a matter of luck and circumstance that you get diagnosed early enough for surgery that has the curative potential, because that's the only potential we do have for a cure currently. There are no novel therapies on the horizon at the minute that are going to significantly improve survival for those who can't have surgery. So we have to focus on getting people to that stage, and currently between 8 to 10% of people in the UK are eligible for surgery on diagnosis, and the rest have either got locally advanced disease or what we term metastatic disease, when it's spread to other parts of the body on diagnosis, and then the treatment options are far more limited when you're at that stage.
Yeah. Okay. I think probably there's quite a lot of confusion about whether or not, a lot of our listeners, of course, being the diabetes show, are going to have diabetes, whether or not diabetes increases your risk of it, or whether having pancreatic cancer increases your risk of diabetes. Mm-hmm. What sort of link there might be there? Can you just clarify that for the listeners, please?
Yeah, there is a link between diabetes and pancreatic cancer. And before everybody who has diabetes starts getting really alarmed, it's what we are looking for with a link with pancreatic cancer is new onset diabetes. Now, that happened to me a year before my own diagnosis. Now, if it's not associated with weight gain and no family history, then doctors need to be a little bit more suspicious about the potential for pancreatic cancer, because we know about 3 in 10 people with pancreatic cancer have had this new onset diabetes ahead 1 to 2 years before their diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. So it's quite a significant proportion of pancreatic cancer cases. So, and what we believe is that it's actually the cancer that's inducing the diabetes in this instance. Now, if you have been diagnosed with 5 years or longer with type 2 diabetes, the same link doesn't apply. But if you do have diabetes generally, then you have, 1% of all diabetics will develop pancreatic cancer. But it is just a risk. And as you imagine, there are an awful lot of people who have diabetes out there that are never, ever, ever going to get pancreatic cancer. So it's really what we're looking at is this new onset diabetes that's normally labelled type 2 by the GP, but it's not actually type 2. It's pancreatic cancer-induced diabetes. And it occurs 1 to 2 years before diagnosis. And importantly, it is not related to being overweight. So that people need to bear that in mind.
Okay. And the other symptoms that you mentioned earlier on, I mean, is it a case that the more you get more and more suspicious, I assume, with the more and more of those symptoms that you've got?
Yeah, and I know it's really, there are a lot of symptoms that are listed for pancreatic cancer, and we don't have that one red flag like you would have for breast cancer, say, right, with a lumper or what have you. So what you need to really consider is just being aware of what the symptoms are and know your own body. Because like myself, you know, if you've got symptoms that are not normal for you and they're persisting, you need to go to the doctor. And if you've already been to the doctor, you need to keep going back until you get a diagnosis, particularly if those symptoms are not only persisting, but perhaps, like in my case, getting worse over time. So it's really important to listen to your body. And that applies to all sorts of things. Medically, not just pancreatic cancer, but it's important not to put off going to the doctor if you've got something that's not normal for you. And we do know from the Pancreatic Cancer Action Awareness Survey that a lot of people are either too embarrassed to go to the doctor with changing bowel habit, for example, or a quarter of people say they're too busy to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we...
Been there, done that.
Well, yes, and I have a husband at home that is as guilty. And it's not just men. It is people have got very busy lives, and we sort of say, oh, well, go away, I'll put it off. Please don't put it off, especially if things are getting worse.
Right. Okay, thank you. What about risk factors from the point of view of, is there anything in our lives generally that can increase our risk of getting it? Are we more at risk if somebody else in our family has had it? Are there risk factors, any that we can do things about, or any that should alert us to be more aware?
Well, a lot of the cases are what we term sporadic. They will happen for a reason that we don't know yet.
Right.
But, a third of cases are attributable to smoking. So I know people know the association between smoking and lung cancer, for mm-hmm. example, or maybe heart disease, but they don't really know about the association with pancreatic cancer. So, and we do know from studies that it shows that if you've given up smoking for 10 or more years, then your risk of developing pancreatic cancer can go back to that of a non-smoker. So if somebody's thinking about giving up, maybe that's another nudge in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
The other risk is now obesity. So we know about 12% of cases in the UK are directly directly attributable to obesity. And I think that risk is only going to get bigger, excuse the pun, as we as a nation, our waistlines are getting bigger. Yes, you mentioned family history. We do know that if people have had two or more first-line relatives, and by first-line I mean mother, father, brother, sister, who have had pancreatic cancer, then they have an elevated risk 50% chance of getting, so their risk is increased, not a 50% chance, I correct myself, an increased risk of 50% versus the normal population. So it's not definitely not saying that everybody who's got a family history is going to get pancreatic cancer, but it's worth making sure that your GP knows about this family history, particularly if you present with symptoms.
Right, okay. Yes, indeed. Thank you very much. That's extremely helpful. I know we haven't mentioned yet, but today is actually how do you term it? World Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Day?
Well, it's World Pancreatic Cancer Day, but I'm happy for awareness to be included in that as well. Yes, it is. It's the fourth World Pancreatic Cancer Day that we've had, and it's building momentum year by year. I think we've got over 80 countries globally. It's kicked off in Australia this morning when we were all sleeping, and it's rolling around the globe now, and just looking at social media feeds this morning, we can see that it's already getting a lot of traction despite our local politics here in the UK. It is a time where we are all united in the mission to demand better for patients and for survival. So one of the best survival rates that's out there is still 9%. That's in the USA. We here in the UK have a 5-year survival rate of less than 7%. The same issues apply for patients across the globe. That problem with lack of knowledge of the disease and its symptoms and late diagnosis. So we are all urging people to know the symptoms, know your body, and to go to your GPs. And the other thing that we're trying to urge funders to fund more research into pancreatic cancer, because it desperately needs it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I was reading, I'm not sure if it was on your website or some may have been on your website, 44% of cases actually end up being emergency ones.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that people have already had symptoms, but they just haven't been aware, so they haven't done anything, so then it becomes an emergency. And only 1 in 10 of those survive a year.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's data that's collected about the routes to diagnosis. So 44% are diagnosed in A&E. Now, not all of those people will be in A&E or have seen a medical professional for the first time. A lot of people have been to and fro to their GP and not got any definitive answers, or been told that it's something very benign, and maybe had their symptoms dismissed, and then things have just got to a peak and they end up in A&E, and sadly it's often too late. So it's quite often a very, very late stage diagnosis when people get to A&E. So we do know that those people who are diagnosed are referred by a GP do significantly better. I think the 1-year survival rate is 30% versus 10 to 12% for A&E admissions. So it's really important that we get people to go to their doctors and maybe ask about pancreatic cancer, sow that seed in their minds that it might be pancreatic cancer, so that they have to rule it out first. And also, we at Pancreatic Cancer Action provide a lot of resources and tools for GPs and pharmacists and other healthcare professionals to help them spot the signs and symptoms of pancreatic cancer in the patients that are presenting to them. And if there are any GPs out there wanting to have our free resources, please get in touch with us at pancreaticcanceraction.org.
Great stuff. That's the website they can get hold of to get in touch with you via there. Excellent. The other thing I just wanted to mention, because I was looking at that the other day, prior to this, there's a great little video on there, Dr. Hilary Jones. It's only about a minute and a half long, but I'd love to be able to point listeners to that, to be able to just get a snapshot of what you've been saying, but just in that video format, which might sink in as well.
Oh, please do. We'd be delighted if you could link to that video via our website. We'd be delighted.
Okay. And what can listeners do as well to help? Obviously, we've got our listeners, but they've got all their families as well. There's things on social media you're posting that they can repost and share.
Oh, absolutely. So if you follow at Official PCA on Twitter, and Pancreatic Cancer Action on Facebook, and please retweet, share, like, all those things to help us raise the profile of pancreatic cancer, not just today, but the whole month is Pancreatic Cancer Awareness Month. And if people would want to get involved, if they've been affected personally or really feel the desire to help us with all of this, we still have packs available for people to raise awareness, to turn it purple through November. So if you get in touch with us via our website or on 0303 040 1770, we'd be very happy to send out a free pack for anyone who wants to help raise awareness.
Wow. Well, thank you, Ali. It's been really lovely talking to you, and really informative, very, very clear and concise. And hopefully some of the listeners will do that. I think I'll be in touch with you as well to get one of those packs.
That'd be wonderful. Thank you.
And also to see what advice you are giving to health professionals as well.
Super.
Great.
Thank you, Peter.
Well, thank you. I wish you all the best for the next 10 years and beyond. And, well done for how well you've done yourself with fighting it.
Thank you very much indeed. And if anybody wants any more information, pancreaticcanceraction.org, we're happy to help.
Wonderful. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.